Last night in the Tarawih, Alhamdulillah, the eighth para was recited, which is the continuation and completion of Suratul An'am, and a portion also of Suratul A'raf was recited. In the first verse of the eighth para, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. This ayat refers to the ignorance and the obstinacy of the mushrikeen, who despite having seen numerous signs and miracles proving the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they remained adamant and they demanded to be shown miracles of their choice. Then only they said that you will bring iman on the truthfulness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nabuwat. Amongst their absurd demands was that an angel must come down from the skies to inform us of the veracity and truthfulness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nabuwat. And they also demanded that the dead must be revived from their graves and speak to us. And whatever you tell us about the unseen, we want to see it in front of our eyes, that is Jannat and Jahannam, etc. Then only we will bring iman. Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions here that if we had to send down upon them the angels and the dead speak to them and we gather for them everything in front of them, then too they will not bring iman until Allah, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. In other words, their claims that we will bring iman if these things are shown to us, in reality, they had no interest in bringing iman. It was just false excuses that they were putting forward. Allah Ta'ala says, even if we have to show them all these things, then too they will not bring iman except if Allah Ta'ala wills. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. But however, most of them are in a state of ignorance. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these people who are in direct opposition to your teachings and refuse to and deny to believe in you, it is not something new. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that for every Nabi we had appointed enemies who were the shayateen in the form of humans and jinn. In other words, every Nabi also had to go through the same process, that their own people refused to accept their message. Yuhi ba'duhum ila ba'din, and these enemies of the Nabi in the form of humans and jinnat, they whisper to one another outwardly beautiful things, but the object is ghurur, to put people into deception, which means that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not only you who is going through this ordeal, that people are opposing you. All the other Anbiya alayhi musallam also went through the same process. Further on, Allah Ta'ala indicates that these mushrikeen who are demanding to be shown miracles of their choice, in reality we have already given Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest of miracles which was shown to them in the form of the Qur'an Majeed. And Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the Qur'an Majeed, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا, that the words of your Rabb are complete, in other words, perfect, in truthfulness and in justice. Concerning the Qur'an Majeed, those ayat and those verses which are concerning the promises of Allah Ta'ala or the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or mention is made about incidents of the past, etc. These are all based on 100% truthfulness. So that is the meaning of sidqan here, and the other word here, wa'adlan, and on justice. In other words, all the injunctions and regulations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, each one of them is based on 100% justice and moderation. It is such that the Qur'an Majeed is perfect in every aspect. Reference is also being made to the fact that the Qur'an Majeed, whatever is contained in it, in its detailed forms, is such that it is for all times, for all nations, and for all conditions. Those who advocate this point, up till today, there are people who are claiming this, that many rules of the Quran Majeed and injunctions of the Quran Majeed are now, na'udhu billah, outdated, and it was only applicable to the people of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, they are actually saying words of kufr, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. Whatever injunctions have been mentioned in the Quran Majeed, since there is no new kitab to be revealed, no new Nabi to come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so each injunction and order of the Quran Majeed is for all times, right up till the day of Qiyamah, whether it's the rules and regulations concerning padda, whether it's the rules and regulations concerning inheritance, or also of going out and fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are applicable for all times, for all generations, and for all conditions. Allah ta'ala says, لا مبدل لكلماتي. Nobody can change the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala had taken upon himself the responsibility of the protection of the Qur'an Majeed, as mentioned elsewhere in the Qur'an Majeed, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Therefore nobody can change or alter anything of the Qur'an Majeed in any way. Anyone who attempts to do such things, they will not be successful. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the order that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا, that leave out all apparent outward sins and also all inward sins. The emphasis of the importance of discarding all types of sins, not only the outer and external form of sins, but also the emphasis is that, and in fact even more important, that a person should cleanse himself and purify himself from all internal forms of illnesses, spiritual disorders in the form of kufr, shirk, in the form of pride, jealousy, greed, etc. These are all diseases of the heart, spiritual ailments. We are ordered that we should cleanse ourselves from all types of ailments and from all types of sin, whether external or internal. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the parable and example of a mu'min, and of that of a person who is devoid of iman. Allah ta'ala says that that person who was dead, in other words, did not have iman, and Allah ta'ala says, then we granted him life, in other words, blessed him with iman. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, and then we gave him a light, the light of iman, يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, with which he walks around amongst the people. Can he ever be equal to that person who is in a multitude of darknesses, in other words, of kufr and sin, لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا, from which he is unable to come out, from which he doesn't come out. In other words, that kufr remains with him till his death, and he dies with kufr and sin. Can the two ever be equal? Definitely the two cannot be equal. Here the point is also here that Allah Ta'ala, whom Allah Ta'ala blesses with iman, is actually Allah Ta'ala blessing him with spiritual light. And we all know light is such which subdues darkness. When there is complete darkness and even a small amount of light is now lit in that environment, because that immediately that darkness will be dispelled. So a person of iman and person of blessed with iman, he has got this special light, and with that light, the light of iman, it subdues the environment in which he is in, which is now the environment of kufr and shirk, and eventually haq and the light of Islam will triumph and be victorious and be overpowering the kufr of that particular area. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, that whomsoever Allah ta'ala wills that he be guided, Allah ta'ala expands his bosom, his heart for Islam. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to misguide, Allah ta'ala makes his heart and his bosom narrow and constricted, as if he is climbing into the skies. The example here is of a person who has been given the light of Islam. Allah Ta'ala expands his bosom for Islam. In other words, Allah Ta'ala makes his heart receptive for the message of Islam, and he very quickly takes effect of the light of Islam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any signs through which we can recognize that person who has been blessed with sharh al-sadr, the expansion of the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when you see these three qualities in a person, then know well that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with the quality of sharh al-sadr, expansion of the heart. The first quality Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that al-inabatu ila daril khulud, that person you will see, that he now starts inclining to the eternal abode, that is towards the year after, his concern is only now of the year after. The second sign is wat-tajafi an daril ghurur, that he now disinclines and stays away, disinclines from the house of deception, that is the world and whatever there is in there, he starts disinclining from there. That is the second sign he has been blessed with sharh al-sadr. And the third sign, al-isti'dadu lil-mawti qabla nuzulihi, that he prepares for death before death occurs. So that person who has these qualities in him, know well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him this great bounty of sharh al-sadr, that Allah ta'ala has expanded his heart for Islam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addressing the on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will address all those creations who are mukallaf and who had who are answerable for their actions, that is the insan and the jinnat. Allah ta'ala will address them and tell them, did the rasuls not come to you from amongst yourself, relating to you my verses and my signs and warning you of the meeting of this day? In other words, did they not come and give you the message? They will all testify and admit that, O Allah ta'ala, shahidna ala anfusina, that we testify upon ourselves, and the worldly life had put us into deception, and we testify upon ourselves that we were from the kafirin, the disbelievers. They will admit that they did not respond to the message of the Anbiya alayhi musallam, which were sent to them. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا, for each person, for everyone, there will be different ranks according to that which they had did. Every person according to his deeds, he will get a different rank, either in Jannat or either in Jahannam. In Jannat, entry into Jannat will only be through the fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ranks in Jannat, the higher and the lower ranks, will be according to a person's deeds and actions. That deeds and actions will now determine what rank and what stage he will get in Jannah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of the malpractices of the mushrikeen with regards to their livestock and with their crops, and how they used to now allocate shares from their crops and animals for their idols, and also they used to now allocate a share for Allah ta'ala, who they used to regard as the supreme ilah, and also for their idols, and how they used to then, if the two shares have to get mixed up, and the share of Allah Ta'ala gets mixed with the share of the idols, they used to now say, no, it's no problem, because Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anything. But if the share of the idols get mixed with the share of Allah Ta'ala, quickly they used to then separate it again, as if they are admitting themselves that their idols are still in need, and therefore we have to now make sure that their share which we had allocated for them is now kept separately and it's not mixed with the share which they had taken out for Allah Ta'ala. So all those malpractices, many animals also they used to free in the name of their idols. And then they used to say that now these animals are for their idols, have been made waqf and dedicated for their idols, and that malpractice is also mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of his great creations and reminds men of these great bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed mankind with, in the form of livestock, in the form of orchards, and in the form of plantations. And all these indicate the great creative powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that being who has these great creative powers, only he has the right to be worshipped. Concerning the crops, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the context of one verse, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, and fulfill its rights on the day of harvest. This verse, this portion of the verse indicates the obligation of zakat on crops, which is called ushar, and the details of it, at how much of zakat has to be paid on crops, that is now, the details of it are found in the kitabs of fiqh. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions the great bounties of Allah ta'ala in the form of livestock which Allah ta'ala had granted. And in those days, the main asset and the main property which people used to regard to be very dear and valuable was cattle and livestock. Allah ta'ala mentions concerning that. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the sixth ruku, a lengthy verse, two verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 10 commands and prohibitions which were from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Each Nabi advocated all these things to their people, and many say that these are also the 10 commandments which Musa alayhi salam was also issued with to propagate to his nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that tell the people that come, let me recite to you, let me tell you that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden for you. And the first one is that don't ascribe anyone as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further commands is that be kind to your parents, don't kill your children for fear of poverty, because we are the ones who provide you and them with sustenance, and don't approach acts of obscenity and shamelessness which are outward or which are inward. Don't even go near to that, and don't kill a soul which Allah Ta'ala has sanctified unless there is a just reason for taking the life of somebody. And further on, Allah Ta'ala says amongst those commands that don't go near to the wealth of the orphans unless it is in a way which is for the betterment of the orphan itself. In other words, the obligation of looking after the property of orphans. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that weight and measure should be done in full with justice. And Allah Ta'ala says that when you speak also, that speak with justice, even though it is against your own relatives, and fulfill the pledges which we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the commandments which Allah ta'ala mentions and says, أَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا, that this is my path, the straight path which you are ordered to follow. So these are such commandments which every Nabi gave to his nation, and they are regarded to be such commands which are universal from the time of Adam alayhi salam right up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a verse that man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha, that the person who brings forth on the day of Qiyamah a virtue, a good deed, for him there will be reward of tenfold. But the one who brings forth an evil deed, then he will not be retributed but according to that evil, and he will not be oppressed and wronged in any way. The main point here is Allah Ta'ala says, man ja'a bil hasanati. Not that a person who does a good action, but a person who brings forth a good action, which means when a person does an action of virtue and good, he has to look after it. It mustn't be that he did a good action, but he does such things which nullifies the reward for that good actions, so he has to look after it also. And the minimum reward, Allah Ta'ala says that we will grant him tenfold. But when it comes to evil actions, Allah Ta'ala will only punish according to that action, not in a multiple way. And this is the sheer mercy and grace and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell the people that my Rabb has guided me to the straight path, that the correct deen, which is on the creed and the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was Hanif. Hanif is one who disinclines from batil completely and inclines fully towards what is the truth. And وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was not from the mushrikeen. as the people of Makkah used to claim that we are on the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was a false claim, because Ibrahim alayhi salam never practiced shirk in any way. Further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that, say, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Tell the people that my salat, my acts of worship, and my life and my death is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rabbul Alameen. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, a sahabi, mentions that it is my heart's desire that every mu'min should recite this over and over and make it his formula and way of life. In other words, that he should always constantly remind himself that whatever I do, all my acts of worship, whether it's salat or anything else, and even my life and my death, my living and my dying should be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things are indicated too in this, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told to tell the people. One is that every action of us should be only and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerity is being indicated too in all our actions. And the second is that our life and our death, our living and our dying also, should be devoted only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for any other reason. The surah then ends on, Allah ta'ala mentions that the bounties which we have blessed the people of the earth with is actually a way of testing you, what we have granted you. So all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us is actually a test to see whether how we now utilize all those bounties, whether for the obedience of Allah ta'ala or in the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. The next surah is Suratul Araf, which is also a Makki surah. And as mentioned previously, the central message in all the Makki surahs revolves around the main fundamentals and doctrines of deen, that is Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat. The first few verses also mention is made of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also those things which will happen to which will be occurring on the day of Qiyamah, particularly the weighing of deeds. That is also mentioned here, that the weighing of deeds on that day will be al-haq, it will happen, it is the truth, and it's not something which is just mentioned, it will happen. The main point here is that deeds will be weighed, not counted, which means there is more emphasis on the quality of our deeds rather than the quantity. It is better to do certain actions of Shariat which Shariat hasn't prescribed the amount from before already, rather do it properly and rather than now going for numbers, because what will be done on the day of Qiyamah is that deeds will be weighed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident in detail of the creation of Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan's refusal to bow down in front of Adam alayhi salam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered, for which he was banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan did not leave Adam alayhi salam, and he whispered to Adam and Hawa alayhim salam concerning eating from the forbidden tree which Allah ta'ala had forbidden from, and he put those thoughts in their minds that no, this order is just that if you eat from this tree you will become an angel, or you will now live in an eternal way, and that's why you have been forbidden. And he took qasams and oaths in this regard, and then Adam alayhi salam, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they fell into the deception which Shaitan had whispered into them, and they ate from the forbidden tree, and the result of it was that the dress of Jannat, the clothing of Jannat, immediately fell off their bodies, and their satr was exposed to one another. But immediately their reaction was that they started covering themselves with the leaves of the trees of Jannah, which indicates that the natural condition of man is that he has to cover up his satr, and he does not allow his satr to now be revealed to anyone. And Adam and Hawa alayhim salam, they immediately then covered themselves up, which also indicates that the first attack of Shaitan on the human race, on mankind, the effect of it was to put them into nudity. And this is the attack of Shaitan, which we see still carry on till today, that there is many people are obsessed with nudity, and on the smallest of pretext, they want to shed off their clothes and reveal their bodies, particularly women, to others. And this is actually the attack of Shaitan on human beings. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in four instances, a very unique thing in the surah, Allah ta'ala addresses mankind by the title of Bani Adam. Nowhere else in the Quran and Majid. Elsewhere, Allah ta'ala refers to mankind as Ya Ayyuhal Nas, or Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. But here, was Bani Adam. And from the four instances, three of those are connected to our dress and in our way of dressing. Allah Ta'ala says, O children of Adam, we have sent down for you clothing. In other words, we had made the arrangements for clothing to come to you, and the benefits are twofold. Yuwari su'atikum wa risha, so that you can conceal your satr, those portions of the body which are not supposed to be exposed, with the clothing, you conceal them, wa risha. And the second benefit of clothing is that it is a source of adornment and beautification for you. So to be dressed up is actually the beauty of man. Whereas people who are perverted in their thinking, they regard beauty to be when one sheds his clothes and takes off his clothes and falls into nudity. Whereas actually clothing is that which gives beauty to the human being. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, that the garment and clothing of taqwa, that is better. So indication is that the physical dress and clothing is in its place. Definitely there is benefit, there is great benefit in there, but a person should also be concerned about the clothing of taqwa. In other words, to fulfill all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they are supposed to be fulfilled. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that three things constitute libasut taqwa. And the three are good morals, sound morals, number two, good deeds, and the third is doesn't come to mind now. Anyway, he mentions that these three things constitute to libasut taqwa, that these qualities will now give rise to the quality of taqwa in a person. There is also an indication in this verse that when a person dresses physically in a proper way, according to the dictates of Shariat and according to the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will be a way through which a person will get the quality of taqwa. Without proper dressing and without dressing according to the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had told us, then it will be difficult to acquire this quality of taqwa. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in various ways and reinforces the aqaid of tawheed, of risalat, and also of the hereafter in many ways. And Allah also speaks of the a'raf. A'raf is that which is the barrier between Jannat and Jahannam. Initially, those people whose deeds, good and bad, are equal, they are as yet not eligible to enter into Jannat, nor are they now, nor will they be able to be thrown into Jahannam, because their good and bad deeds are equal. They will be put on the station of A'raf. They will speak to the people of Jannat, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His grace and mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then enter them into Jannah. Further on, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the rest of the para. In many rukus, Allah ta'ala mentions the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi musallam and their respective nations, and Allah ta'ala, the reason why Allah ta'ala mentions these incidents, that these nations refused to accept the message of Haqq, with the result that, and they continued with their evil ways, Allah Ta'ala then, they became eligible for the punishment of Allah Ta'ala to descend upon them. There are many reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of the nations of the past in various places throughout the Quran and Majid. Amongst them, the reasons are to prove the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, many of them came hundreds of years before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes the conditions very accurately, definitely. It can only be through wahi, and wahi only comes to a Nabi, and it also proves, therefore it proves the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another reason is consolation to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are not the only one whose nation is completely defiant and in opposition to your to accepting your nabuwat. The previous Anbiya alayhi salam had also gone through the same thing. And the third benefit is lessons for all of mankind, that those who reject the message of Haqq, despite clearly being now informed of that, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them. The incident of Nuh alayhi salam and his nation is mentioned. The incident of Hud alayhi salam and his nation, the nation of Ad, whom Allah ta'ala had granted great physical as well as monetary power. They were extremely wealthy and also extremely strong and powerful. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they refused to accept the message of Haqq, they were destroyed. And then the incident of Salih alayhi salam and his nation of Thamud is also mentioned here, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Concerning Lut alayhi salam and his nation, the evil that they were involved in, despite being reminded, they continued with their evil ways, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And then the incident of Shu'aib alayhi salam and his people, who had the who used to do the evil of robbing the people when he came to weight and measure, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them when they refused to accept the message of Haqq. All this is mentioned here, and this continues right into, for quite a few rukus, into the ninth para also, which we'll read inshallah tomorrow.